So if you do have your Bibles with you, take them and turn to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1 is where we're going to be today. I want to begin this year talking about our responsibility to tell other people about Jesus Christ. Going to be our theme through the year probably in some way, shape, or another, but we're going to be very specific about it early this year. This world needs to know about Jesus. Your neighbor needs to know about Jesus. Your friends, your co-workers, people that you don't even know need to know about Jesus. I believe that's what the Holy Spirit is going to say to us today. I think that's what he's going to be saying to us over and over again. I think that's what he's been telling us, and maybe we've just not been listening very well. Friends all around me are trying to find what the heart yearns for, but I have the secret. I know where 'tis found. Only true pleasures in Jesus abound. Jesus is all this world needs today. Blindly they strive, for sin darkens their way. Oh, to pull back the grim curtains of night. One look at Jesus and all will be light. Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach, until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So when they met together, they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, It is not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria unto the ends of the earth. So let's look right here at these first eight verses of the gospel, of the book of Acts, and I'll tell you that what you're going to find here is a wonderful success story. There are three things, if we would make Jesus known to our neighbors in the world, there are three things that will help us that we're going to find in these eight verses. The first is this: we need to recognize his presence in us. Most of us, I don't know if we do that or not. Those words can go by so quickly, you don't even hear them. Our minds are on so many other things sometimes, maybe they don't make an impact. But this is a most phenomenal thought. If you can get it into your heart and into your mind that Jesus Christ is in us, it will change so much. Look again at those first three verses. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote to you all about Jesus began to do and to teach. Underscore began. Until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave them many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke to them about the kingdom of God. So this book was written by a guy named Luke. He was a physician, a doctor. I know a whole lot of doctors who are Christians who believe the Bible is the Word of God. Luke was the first of them. Well, every good book has a hero, and in his book, it was Jesus. Verse 1, of all that Jesus began to do and to teach. In the Bible I use, and I'm guessing most of you too, it has a heading that says Acts of the Apostles. But in that very first verse of this book, it says about all that Jesus began to do and to teach. So I don't want you to miss this point. It's a simple one, but don't miss it. The title, Acts of the Apostles, was put on your Bible by some Bible publisher somewhere. It's not part of the inspired text. Luke didn't write that. He wrote the book. He didn't write the title. The book of Acts is not the story of the Acts of the Apostles. It's the story of the Acts of Jesus Christ. Don't miss it. Of all that Jesus began to do and to teach. Luke said, I wrote in my former book about all that Jesus began to do and to teach. Well, what was his former book? It was the Gospel of Luke, right? The Gospel of Luke. He said, hey, I wrote that first gospel. I wrote it about all that Jesus began to do. Now I'm going to write a follow-up. I'm going to write the book of Acts about all that Jesus is continuing to do. He didn't say, I wrote to you about what Jesus did, and now I'm finished. Now Jesus is finished. He wrote, in my former book, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do. Now I'm going to write something else. I'm going to show you what Jesus Christ is continuing to do. So in the Gospels, you find about what Jesus did while he was on this earth in his physical body, in his flesh. In the book of Acts, you're going to see what Jesus did through his mystical body, the church. You see, Jesus is still alive and on planet Earth today, and he still has a body on this earth, and it's called the church. And Jesus is alive and well in that body. This is what the Bible calls or describes in Colossians chapter 1, verse 27, where it says, Christ in you. You see, we're not here just imitating Jesus. I love that bracelet we used to all wear all the time, or that saying, WWJD, what would Jesus do? It was a great thing to ask, but it's not just what would he do. We need to let him do what he will do. This church, right here, and any New Testament church is the body of Christ in its town, in that city. If we ever get it into us that Christ is in us, that what Christ did in the Gospels, he's continuing to do through his body, the church, what a difference it's going to make. The Apostle Paul said in Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. So listen, if you're doing something special for Jesus, that's good. But it's also superficial. If Jesus is doing something through you, that's supernatural. See, listen, the Christian life is not difficult. The Christian life is impossible. You say, okay, January 1st, first of the year, you're telling me that what we're trying to do is impossible, Randy. It's impossible. But listen, God does the impossible all the time. Did you hear the song this morning? You sang it. All things are possible, and he'll do it in you, he'll do it through you. Stuart Briscoe was a great preacher. He said, when I first got saved, I gave my heart to Jesus, and it was wonderful. He goes, but then I stumbled and fell. And then I stumbled and fell again, and I said, man, this is difficult. Oh, man, hard. He said, so I went down the aisle again, and I rededicated my life to Jesus. I started over, and then I stumbled and I fell again. And then I finally stopped saying, this is tough, this is difficult. I started saying, this is impossible. And then he says, I discovered that it was Jesus Christ in me who's going to do it through me. And then he said, and then I said, this is wonderful. This is wonderful. So we need to stop trying and start trusting in Jesus Christ living his life through us. Stop asking ourselves, what would Jesus do if he were here? He is here. Let him be God in you. Friend, listen, it's not you that we're asking to make a difference in this church, in this community. It's Jesus in you that's going to make a difference in this church and in this community. Let's not ever get to the point where we can turn around like wonderful people. We're doing so many good things for God. Look at what we're doing for God. Let's let Christ do some good things through us and then give him the glory for what he's doing through us. The life I live, Paul wrote, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. So the book of Acts is what Jesus is continuing to do in his church. Wouldn't it be wonderful if Jesus were to just be let loose in Fenton, Michigan? in Heartland, Michigan, in Oakland County, Michigan, in Livingston County, Michigan. Wouldn't it be wonderful if a movement just sprang up all around here through his body? That's us. We are his body. We're how that's going to happen. Living the Christian life, listen, is a miracle. And by the way, there's three miracles in the Christian life. You know what they are? There's the new birth. That's a wonderful miracle. There's the concluding miracle. That's the last miracle when we're made to be like the Lord Jesus. But in between the two, between the first and the second, that's the miracle of the life we live right now. Our life is supposed to be a supernatural life because we have been filled with a supernatural Holy Spirit given to us by our Almighty God. The Christian life is not all about your responsibility. It's about your response to his ability. Major Ian Thomas said about this, "I can't." He never said I could. He can. He always said he would. And so that's the first thing we need to do. We need to recognize his presence in us. It's there. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, it's there. Look back at the verse of Scripture again, verse 3. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. In the verse just before that, verse 2, we're told that he gave instructions to the apostles. Why did he give them this mission impossible? Well, he gave them this mission impossible because he knew that through his power they could do it. He also knew that without his power, they'd fail miserably. They'd never be able to do it. So what were the commands he gave them? What are these commands that he gave before he left? We don't have to guess. We know. We know exactly what his marching orders were. We know exactly what those commands were. Matthew 28, 19 to 20, you know it. Therefore go, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of this age. It wasn't a request. If you look in the original language, it's very emphatic. It's a very command statement. Go. Make disciples. Jesus is king. We're a part of his kingdom. We're his servants. That's a command he's given to us. Listen to me. I want to say it as nicely as I can. If you're not fulfilling your obligation in Christ's kingdom, you're missing it. Jesus has commanded us to go and to make disciples. What did he say to do? Matthew 28, 19 and 20, three things. Make them. Go, therefore, and make disciples. He didn't say go and make decisions. I hear people all the time talk about these big evangelistic meetings. They don't happen as much as they used to, but they still happen. But they have these crusades, they have these revivals, and they say, we had 1,000 decisions. He didn't say go and get decisions. He said go and make disciples. Number two, not only do we make them, but we're to mark them. He said baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Don't minimize that. Don't miss it. Jesus commanded be baptized. He commenced his public ministry by baptism. He concluded his public ministry by commanding baptism. So once a person is a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, that person is to be baptized by immersion. Once a person comes to believe in Jesus Christ, to believe he died for their sins, he's to be baptized into Jesus Christ, marking himself out. I belong to Jesus. I'm not ashamed of Jesus. It's not this incidental thing. Jesus has commanded it. He said, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. You know what that means? It means you belong to Jesus. You're not ashamed to know Jesus. I want everyone to know. See me up here? I'm being buried with him in baptism, like Jesus. And I'm being resurrected out of the water, representing Jesus' resurrection. And if you've not been baptized, you ought to be the first one down here at the end of the sermon today saying, I want that for myself. Let's get this done. You make them. You mark them. Number three, you mature them. Teaching them to observe all things I've commanded you. Those are the marching orders for Tri-County Christian Church to make them, to mark them, and to mature them. Moving believers toward Jesus Christ to more work, to greater ministry. That's what we are all about. And before we can ever begin to do it, we have to recognize his presence in us. We're not going to be able to do it on our own. Without Jesus, it is a mission impossible. With Jesus, it's beyond possible. Jesus lives in his church. The Bible says, Jesus Christ, the hope of glory. The Gospels are all about what Jesus began to do and teach. The book of Acts is what he continues to do in that first century church. Another could be what he continued to do in the second century church. And isn't it going to be great to see what he does in the 21st century church? Number two, don't just recognize his presence in us. Number two, we should rely on his promise to us. Look again, verses 48. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command. Do not leave Jerusalem. Wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Then they gathered around him and asked, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel? They wanted to talk about prophecy. He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses. They wanted to talk about prophecy. Jesus wanted to talk about proclamation. Get out there and tell people. Witness. He said where to go. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, end of the earth. Now here Jesus is talking about a promise he made. When he was walking amongst them, walking, talking, going to places with them, he gave them a promise. It's found in Luke 24, 49. Here's what he said. Behold, I send the promise of the Father to you, but stay in the city of Jerusalem until you receive the power from on high. He said, don't go off and start doing this on your own. Don't go out and just try and start a church. Don't go start your ministry. Wait until you receive the promise. You'll know when he's there. You'll know. What was the promise? It was the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. So really, this is almost a repeat of the first point, I know. We have to realize his presence in us, but then we have to rely on that promise that he's given to us. And it was a promise. He hasn't given us a job we're not able to do. A few months ago when we started Project 10, Project 52, Project 30, Project 29, people said, what if we fail? I said, well, we're going to fail if we don't try. Are you sure we can do it? I'm sure we can't do it. But I'm sure God can do it through us. God is not going to bless what we want to accomplish. He's going to bless the work that we do. He's not going to bring the neighbor down the road to see us until we go and invite that neighbor to come worship with us. All right? I'm convinced of what God can do. I'm convinced of what you and I cannot do. So we're going to trust his promise. We're going to rely on his promise. These disciples were uneducated people. They were poor. They were uncouth. They had no seminaries. They had no buildings. They had almost no money. And he tells them, go take my message to the world. But he didn't leave them helpless. He said, you will be my witnesses. You will tell other people about me. And it's going to be after I send the Spirit to you. I relied on the Spirit to get the job done. Folks, I pray before every message. I pray while I prepare every message. Because maybe, just possibly, through the message, you might be convinced to do something, change something, act a different way. But I know someone else can just talk you right out of it real quick as soon as you leave. But when it's the Holy Spirit speaking to you, and he will, then God will use it. And he will change you, and he could change you forever. And I'll tell you this, God wants to use you to win your neighbors. And God wants to use you to win this neighborhood. And God wants to use you to win this nation. And our job is to make Jesus known to our neighbors and our nation and our world. That's our job. We're to begin in Jerusalem. That's our communities. Then Judea, that would be tantamount to our state. Then Samaria, that would be like our whole country. And then the whole world. So let's not play leapfrog. I don't have to worry about the state yet. I just need to worry about the few people right around us. That's where we start. We're going to call it a year of evangelism. God has blessed our church. You know it, don't you? We have survived some very difficult times, but you know what? He has not called us to survive. He's called us to thrive. He's called us to grow. He's called us to make disciples. In light of all God has blessed us and our church with, we're not going to sit on our hands and soak it in and say, what good boys and girls we've been. We need to get off of our blessed assurances and do everything we can to take Jesus Christ to this community. Someone say amen. I mean, I don't say it arrogantly. I don't say it wishfully. God has literally given us an assignment. It's now just about time we do it. We're going to share Jesus Christ because Jesus Christ has asked us to do it. It's our Jerusalem. We need to get out into our Jerusalem and tell people about Jesus. How are we going to do it? We're going to recognize his presence in us. We're going to rely on his promise to us. Verse 8, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses. By the way, and it's not just about Tri-County Christian Church. I mean, I think he's going to use this church. I hope he uses us in a mighty way. But it's not about bringing them to a church. It's about bringing people to the Lord. Jesus says, I'm going to make you witnesses to me. You know, one man was trying to make a Baptist out of a Methodist. He went to the Methodist, and the Methodist didn't want to be a Baptist. And so the Baptist got into an argument with him. And he says, well, how come you're a Methodist? And the man said, well, my daddy was a Methodist. My granddad was a Methodist. My great-granddad was a Methodist. That makes me a Methodist. The Baptist said, wait a minute. If your daddy were a fool, and your granddaddy were a fool, and your great-granddaddy were a fool, what would that make you? He said, I guess it'd make me a Baptist. I mean, we're not witnessing to some denomination. I could have filled those in with any two denominations. I don't make fun of any of them, okay? But it's not about churches or denominations. It's about bringing people to Jesus Christ. That's what we're supposed to be doing. You will receive power, verse 8, when the Holy Spirit comes in you, and you will be my witnesses. Now listen, this is a divine strategy. It's a divine strategy. Listen carefully. God can use you. He can use you with what you have. He can use you where you are. He will give you everything you need. If this church ever gets serious about sharing Jesus Christ, we'll make an impact on this city. God has made a solemn promise to us, a solemn promise that he would send power, that he would work through us, and that he'd be with us to the very end. Here's the third thing I want you to see this morning. Number three, we need to respond to his program through us. All right, what's his program through us? Look again at verse 8. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, and Samaria, until the ends of the earth. How about your neighbors? Do they know Jesus? Do they know you're saved? Do they know that you have anything more special than just a cultural type of Christianity? They don't care how much you know about Bible prophecy. The apostles asked, Lord, are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel now? He said, don't worry about that. That's not for you to know. That's for God to know. He said, your responsibility is just to tell others about me. He said it this way, to be a witness. I want to ask you a question. How about you? Now listen to me. Are you going to come to Tri-County Christian Church, listen to a sermon, make a few notes, and then go home? Or might you pray, dear God, make me a soul winner? make me a witness. Again, a witness is very simply someone who just tells others what he's seen and heard. There's no greater joy than to help someone else come to find Jesus as Savior. Recognize his presence in us. Remember his promise to us. Remember his program is through us. We're to be his witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the end of the earth. We're going to do it by living supernaturally. Acts chapter 2, we'll tell you more about that, the power. There's power. And we're going to learn the secret to building his church in the next few weeks through the book of Acts.